Let us pray. God of hope, who never let us go, draw near to us in these ancient words. By your Holy Spirit, may we be filled, lifted up, and leveled as you prepare in our heart the path of your coming. Amen. Our first scripture reading from prophet Isaiah chapter 33, verses 14 through 16 was read as part of the Advent candle lighting early in the service. Our second scripture reading is from St. Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 36. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and boredom and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things began to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you will see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon you who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Beloved of God, heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of the Lord will not pass away. Thanks be to God.
Is there anything more awkward than being forced to wait and not being sure what's going on, let alone what you're supposed to be doing in the meantime? Probably wondering, has Kevin finally lost it? There was a 20th century American composer named John Cage. He did a lot of experimental stuff musically. Some of you may be familiar with some of his work. And the musical piece that he is probably most famous for is called 433. Anyone familiar with that? I got one hand. All right. Well, 433, it was he composed it as a piano piece, though as often happens. One member of the audience who was clearly angered and distraught by this musical piece, angry at David Tudor and John Cage and the musical number they had presented that evening, he stood up right there in the audience. He stood up, tried to rallying the rest of the audience by saying, "Good people of Woodstock, let's drive these people out of town." Now, you might be wondering what sort of musical number could cause a riot and a reaction like that. Well, John Cage's piece, 433, is 4 minutes and 33 seconds, hence the name, of the piano player sitting at the piano and not playing. He's not doing nothing. The musician's not doing nothing. They're keeping time like all good musicians, counting out the beats and the measures of the music until 4 minutes and 33 seconds of the piece are up. There's no playing. So can you imagine being in that audience? Just having to sit there, right? The audience sitting there in all their expectation and excitement about a night on the town. You probably got dressed up. You went out to dinner. You spent good money on these tickets. And you're sitting there and nothing seemingly is happening. And can you imagine the growing anxiety? I just made you sit for a minute. And you didn't even pay to come in. So can you imagine their growing anxiety at just waiting? And what's even more fascinating is that you can find recordings of this piece performed by various musicians and bands and orchestras and piano players. You can find recordings of this. And it sounds like what you imagine. So here's what we should take note today. Though the musicians in this arrangement here, though they don't play their instruments, the recordings are not silent. What you hear, what the musical piece is the sound of waiting. The sounds of expectation and growing anxiety. There's every now and again you'll hear some nervous coughing over here and some restless shuffling in the seats over there. All those kinds of anxious sounds you might expect. If you're like me, and like those in the audience for that concert back in 1952 Woodstock, waiting is not easy. We don't like to do it. We get restless. We start looking for something to occupy our mind and our time. I was debating just waiting here until someone pulled out their phone and started playing a game or something. Right? Anything, really, to give us a distraction from the waiting. Because waiting reminds us that we are not in control. We're at the mercy of whatever or whoever we're waiting on. Waiting is, in many ways, a posture of dependence and learning how to live in the meantime. And that's a lot of what this season of Advent is about. This season in the church that we begin today. The kids here know this all too well, I'm sure, right now. The waiting, the anxious waiting has already begun. The word Advent means coming or appearance. So it's this period of time focused on waiting for coming or the appearance of Jesus. And so liturgically and seasonally, we have it leading up to Christmas. We're waiting for Christmas. And what you'll notice is that the scriptures of this season don't start with baby Jesus, all meek and mild and all of that, and people singing songs and shepherds and angels. It doesn't start with that. No, the scriptures of this season, they start with agitated, anxious, restless, expectant, waiting and longing. Full of obnoxious prophets that clearly don't know how to behave in polite society. Behold, Jeremiah begins, "Behold," that's the biblical word equivalent of, "Are you awake?" Behold, right? Look, the days are surely coming. And we begin with grown-up, apocalyptic Jesus, the Jesus who is going to be arrested in the very next chapter of Luke, the Jesus talking about signs big and small, signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and signs in a fig tree. Distress, fear, and foreboding, with even the heavens being shaken. And finally, he says, the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And again and again and again, like Jeremiah, with admonishing us to raise our heads, sit up, be on guard, keep alert, and watch out. Jeremiah spoke those words. They spoke his words, God's words, through him in the midst of a time of calamity and exile, a time of violence and destruction. God's people had been overrun by the Babylonians and many carried off away into exile. The temple was destroyed and the king's power was broken. And they were a people left longing for things to be made right. And Jesus spoke his words from this morning to a people living under the Roman occupation. Within a generation of Jesus speaking these words, and sometime around the time that Luke wrote them down, Jerusalem was again under siege and it would fall. And with it, the second temple, the one that was rebuilt to replace that first one, would again also be destroyed. Jesus spoke his words to a people who had this looming over their heads in the not-too-distant future, and Luke wrote them down to a people who had this as the very backdrop of their lives. And so it may seem odd at first, especially if you did any shopping these past couple days, it may seem odd at first that when you show up here, we come into the season of Advent not with the gentle, joyous words of season's greetings, but with the sudden, loud, impolite interruption of Jeremiah's, "Behold!" and the alarming words and warnings and the apocalyptic images of the grown-up Jesus warning us, asking us, begging us to keep our heads up and stay alert. But then again, with a second thought, I don't think it is that odd. These words from Jeremiah and Jesus, they were born from, and they were born into times filled with questions and fears, filled with anxious and uncertain plans about the future, into a people wrestling with fear and violence and what it means not just for each person, but for communities called and claimed by God. What does it mean to live in this time, in this place? They were born into a world that for many seemed to be headed in all the wrong directions or at least unraveling a bit, in a time that was certainly more than a bit out of their control. That's the world that God spoke into through Jeremiah. "Behold, the days are coming when I will fulfill my promise." That's the world Jesus spoke into. There will be signs throughout creation, big and small, cataclysmic and natural, and even amidst the fear and the foreboding, I will come with power and with glory. That day is coming, so stand up, raise your heads. Your redemption is close at hand. And feels a bit like our world too, doesn't it? Don't you sometimes feel that? That longing, that anxious excitement or fear or some mixture of both. Think of what sort of waiting we've had to do and continue to have to do and figure out over these past 21 months. I couldn't help thinking as I was listening and waiting on these passages of Scripture this week, how we come into Advent this year waiting, maybe like we've never had to wait before. Waiting in the midst of a world still reeling with fear and conflict and struggling with violence through words and no less wait in the midst of a world filled with people driven from their homes, looking for just a glimmer of hope and security. Six apartments down the road and down in Cumberland are currently, just this past week, or preparing to house a whole many families who are refugees from Afghanistan. We wait in the midst of conflicting attitudes about and responses to a disease that has wrought so much havoc, and just when we think we're starting to get a handle on it, we read another news report and we start worrying all over again and wondering, what do we need to do? We wait in the midst of an uncertain economy, an uncertain political, and an uncertain social landscape. And I'm sure many of you could add your own personal context of waiting in the midst of all of this, in the midst of uncertainty or loss, or just maybe even that feeling that as good and wonderful as the holidays are, they also never quite live up to all the hopes we put on them. And I'm equally sure that many of you could add a context of joy and excitement to your waiting, waiting in the midst of family celebrations again this year after not having them last year. Maybe signs springing up, new career opportunities or life opportunities, signs of a hope-filled future. But either way, we wait, don't we? We wait in hope. We wait in anxious expectation. We wait with a bit of anxiety or worry. We wait. We wait because either way, we are confronted by the fact that we are dependent upon God and not the other way around. And so Advent, it seems, has come yet again at just the right time, reminding us of God's promise, reminding us of the one for whom we wait, the faithfulness of the one for whom we wait. That in him, the movement is always from evening to morning, from dark to the light of God's kingdom that always has the final word. And so we begin our year. This is the first Sunday of the Christian year. We begin this new year in the dark of Advent, lighting a candle in expectant hope and waiting. Advent forces us to spend time waiting for Christmas, waiting for the birth of Jesus. It doesn't let us get there too quickly. Society says, let's jump in yesterday or last month. But the wisdom of the church throughout the year says, hang on a second. Hang on a second. It makes us wait these 4 weeks, challenging us to spend some time reflecting on the fact that we wait still for Christ's second coming, his second advent. Looking back and looking forward, remembering that Jesus has come in the flesh and he has done all that is necessary to secure our future. And at the same time, we still look forward, knowing we still wait for the fulfillment of what he has secured. It is life in the meantime, reminding us that we are dependent upon God, and sometimes we wait. And yet also at the same time, we are called to lift up our heads, to be on alert, to watch as we wait. It's the question, family. The question Advent raises to us is not, do we wait? It's not, will we wait? No, the question is, how do we wait? How will we choose to wait? And the challenge that the season of Advent lifts up to us is to wait, not with simple, restless distractions in our seats, but to wait with hopeful expectation that at any moment, behold, look, kapow! Are you still awake? And so the challenge and the call of this holy season is to wait with our heads raised, on guard and alert, looking around, watching with expectant hope. Because God reminds us that a day is coming. And while we live and wait in this in-between time when things often carry on in their normal pattern, still there are signs that pop up. Not always the big creation-shattering, heaven-shaking signs like the ones Jesus says will come when that day comes, though sometimes we see big signs. But signs nonetheless, sometimes very much like the signs of fruit showing up on a fruit tree at just the right time. Signs that God is still interrupting things. God is still at work. Signs of God's righteousness bringing about our redemption. Signs of God's justice and mercy. And we, family, are reminded again this season of the greatest sign of all for which we look back on and we hold on to and we see and we still wait, the birth, the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. And so like the leaves on a fig tree, like they are the signs of the changing seasons. Just like that, Jesus says, be alert and watch for those signs that spring up all around you. Signs that God is yet on the move, sometimes in big ways, sometimes in small ways, but always on the move nonetheless. Now, as you can imagine, there was more than just that one room full of critics, patrons, and audience members of John Cage's musical piece 433. People who complained, understandably enough, that they had just paid good money to sit and listen to silence. And here's how John Cage responded. They missed the point. There's no such thing as silence. What they thought was silence, because they didn't know how to listen, was full of sounds. You could hear the wind stirring outside during the first movement. During the second, raindrops began pattering on the roof. And during the third, the people themselves made all kinds of interesting sounds as they talked or walked out. Jesus calls us to wait with alertness, watching with expectation for the signs of God's kingdom that pop up all around us. Advent is a time to learn how to listen, to be alert, with ears to hear through the silence, the sounds and the signs of God showing up all around us, signs both present and signs pointing to that day that is surely coming. Even signs through people, maybe even through us. The sounds of waiting and longing for the justice and righteousness of God's coming kingdom. The sounds and signs of this justice and righteousness popping up here and there in unexpected places. Would that we have the ears to hear, so that then we too might find ways to more and more live into and work out the hope of that promise of security and salvation. Advent reminds us that there are the sounds of God's song of salvation and redemption playing all around us. There is no such thing as silence. But sometimes the only way to hear, the only way to have ears to hear, the only way to be alert and to be on guard, to hear the signs building toward that big, grand, earth-shattering and heaven-shaking crescendo, the only way to hear them is to stop and wait. So that then, like the audiences listening to John Cage's 433, you might just realize, if you are waiting alert and expectant, that God is calling you not just to listen, but that by listening well and with excited expectation, you are now also a part of that song. musical score. During Advent, we practice waiting, precisely because you never know. At any moment and in any place, God may be up to something bigger than we could ever imagine. And we wait with alertness on the edge of our seats because we are called to be a part of those kingdom signs popping up all over the place, interrupting life as usual. And we ask ourselves, what do we do with the restlessness of waiting? Do we find a convenient distraction sitting back in our seats, or do we sit on the edge of our seats with our heads held up, set about the holy work of what we are waiting for? So this family, this Advent season, I invite us all to sit up, raise our heads, and wait and work with faithful, eager expectation, because redemption has already drawn near in Jesus Christ, and the sounds are all around us. And you are also a part of the arrangement of that song. May we have ears to hear, because there is no such thing as silence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.